Jessica Town, Denise, Lucinda, and that's it. So if you could see me, I'm going to go over the supposed snow list. Yeah.
All right, Ecclesiastes 8, verse 10. Moving on. I entitled this How God Runs the World from the perspective of the human author here and his research into matters and things, which sometimes is questionable, other times there's no argument with it. This is the strangest book I've ever run across. I've told you that before, so it's the way it is. But, all right, now he gives another story. So then, is the and purpose and while connective with the preposition B-E-T-H with an adverb. So then, I have seen, cal perfect, the wicked buried. Wicked is Rasha. Generally used in the Old Testament for those that are outside the plan of God, whatever their personal lives are, whatever they're engaged in, they are classified as the wicked. And that is due to the fact that, one, they are not incorporated into the plan of God through the simple action that all of us who are here, I presume, have taken. We have believed in Jesus Christ in time. And we're incorporated in the plan of God. And while we may act wicked, and believers can do very wicked stuff, they are not technically the wicked. There is the distinction in Scripture. And I continue to work with this vocabulary. Obviously, Lot was a wreck spiritually. Whatever assets and things he had going for him, he was a wreck spiritually. But he's called in the book of Peter the righteous man. That's based on, one, he was a believer. Two, he was against the prevailing vice that was so terrible that was in the environment of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was tormented day and night, self-induced, but living in the midst of that because this was the best place in his mind, because that's how the stupid act. This was the best place in his mind to make a fortune. He was a monetary reversionist. That was his thing. Getting ahead. You see it through the life of Abraham. And so he went to Sodom because in those cities, they were very, very prosperous. He got him a position there. He was always looking for business interests. That's what drove him. But he had to live around all this. But he's the righteous. So the righteous fall into those who have imputed righteousness. When you believed in Jesus Christ, God imputed His righteousness to you, along with eternal life, to qualify you to go into the afterlife and the basic blessings of the afterlife. And so the wicked here. And again, this would be in Israel. This would be an observation he made in his own country, that there were Israelites, I presume, who were not even believers. The thought that all the Israelites, because they're in this environment with the temple and all this going on, that they're all going to automatically be believers, it does not follow. Even as all people who come to a particular church does not mean, even though they call themselves Christians, do not necessarily mean they're believers. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to make your own personal decision. He's the Savior. I've believed in Him. I've got the worst thing imaginable off of a person's head. And that is the condemnation that is connected with being born spiritually dead into this world. And it's just one little easy step. All you got to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You don't have to understand a lot, just that he's the Savior. I believe. That's it. And there are those that simply refuse. They're the overwhelming majority. They won't even take that step. They remain in a state of unbelief. So he's talking about the wicked here, the Rasha. And you see it through the Old Testament, that term translated the wicked. It is based on the word to be a criminal. Now, to be a spiritual criminal is to be someone that is on, so to speak, is on the run spiritually. They're not in the plan of God. They are under the wrath of God. They live every day under the wrath of God, which the plug will be pulled when they die. And then it's all over, and they're in hell waiting in the lake of fire. Their body joins up with it. It's an awful, unbelievable prospect of which there is no hope, there's no escape, there's no second chance, there's no nothing. And so if you're a believer, you can thank God every day for that. Thank you that I found out the good news of salvation, that it does not require my personal behavior, however good or bad it might have been. It's not an issue. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. And you're in the plan, as much as me or anyone else. You may not be actively functioning in it as a believer, but then you can change that too. So I've seen the wicked buried. He's seen the funeral procession or whatever they did, whatever their cultural thing was. He's seen them buried. Those who used to go in and out of the holy place. The temple was open to visitors and people who could come and go. So they were regular attendees in this place called, and this is the first mention of any established area of worship in this book. They used to go in and they used to go out of the place, Makom, Kadosh, holy. And they are forgotten in the city where they did this. Thus, and they are forgotten. Hithpael imperfect Shakak, forgotten in the city where Calperfect they did this. They acted, they ran their lives this way. This too is futility, hevel. They lived their lives in futility. You get the impression from this that they were prominent, that they were overtly, this is who they are. And they had their own personal ideas, but they would actually go to the temple, the holy place, the place where they could have gotten this all and had information to straighten this out and get their lives right with God by making the salvation adjustment at the very minimum. People won't do that. You know these people. You've seen them. They will not make the most basic, simple, the most important decision to get you out of eternal wrath and out from under that awful sentence of condemnation that the unbeliever walks under until such time as he or she may decide to believe in Jesus Christ. You get the most for doing hardly anything. It's an attitude. I believe in your heart. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe in him. So if you haven't done that, you need to do it. It's a gift. It's a gift given by God to whosoever will. No respect of persons. It's before the entire human race. Apart from which, it's an unimaginable eternity. No, nothing. Nothing. But eternal pain. Imagine all the people that have died centuries, millennia before us who went down to hell, their souls. And all they've known is agony and misery and regret. The high and the low and all in between. The good news is for all the nations, Christ died for everybody. He bore the sins of everybody. It's that simple. Don't let anyone tell you you got to do something else, or you can lose it, or you can do all this. Once you believe, you're in. Whether you do anything positive with regard to the truth and the plan of God, as you learn it, as you might learn it in a Bible, in a church, where the truth is taught and no punches are pulled. It's the whole counsel of God. So you can think like you should and live like you should. In a short time, you got left. Even if you're young, you don't have time. You don't have time to fool around. Nobody does. And then he goes in verse 11. We'll try to, you know, the thing in Ecclesiastes, the shift here from time to time seems like, well, what's this? Because the sentence, pithnam, sentence, against an evil deed is not executed quickly. A deed evil, hastily executed, is the nifel perfect of the two asa, the common to do verb, but in the nifel stem. Because the sentence against evil is not executed quickly. Quickly is an adverb. Therefore, he concludes, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. And evil here is ra, and it's moral or spiritual evil. Although a sinner. Now, another word in our Bible, sinner. It is used both technically for the non-believer. It is also used for someone engaged in STA activity, where James calls these believers sinners. Although a sinner does evil, ra, calperfect, calparticiple, asa, does evil 100 times, that's the adjective, mia, 100, and may lengthen his, and may lengthen himself, that's lengthen, may lengthen, this is the hifil participle, arak, be long, this is a, still I know, calparticiple, no, that it will be well for those who fear God. That it will be good, well. There's your tov. It will be good for those, yare, fearing Elohim. Who fear him, he adds, calperfect, yare, to fear. Who fears him openly. That's the word for face, with a suffix, with a prefix, two prefixes, actually. Min, lamed, and then the noun, paneh. It's always in the plural in the Hebrew, face, as in the face of God. Face is never in a singular form, as I've told you, because the variety of expressions that come across our faith, face at any given time. Sadness, happiness, and all the other. But it will not be well for the evil man. Tov again. It will not be well for the evil man. The rasha could be translated wicked, but they put it, it's all right. The wicked man. And he will not lengthen his days. Be long again, hifil imperfect arak, his days, like a shadow. He won't lengthen his days like a shadow. A shadow gets longer as it's in relationship to the sunlight. Like a shadow, because he does not fear God. He does not exemplify fear for God. Failure to fear God, people, is insanity. It is insanity. It's the ultimate thing. He's the ultimate person that can bring to pass good and bad. And not to fear him is There is futility. The futility word, H-E-B-E-L, hevel. Translate vanity, futility, meaninglessness. There is futility which is done on the earth. That is, and again we get into the author's seeming perplexity with regard to some incongruities that he ran across. In a simplistic world, we say the righteous always are going to live long and everything's going to be good with them, and the wicked are always going to have their lives cut short. Well, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way, always. There are examples, obviously, where the wicked's lives are cut short. But there are examples where they are not cut short, where they live a long time in their evil, who have had a whole history of doing all kinds of stuff that could have got a person killed over and over. He died at 106. David Rockefeller. Trilateral Commission. One worlder openly. Him, Walter Cronkite. Remember him? And that's the way it is. News guy. He appeared to be really pro-American and everything. Father, a grandfather figure. Giving us our... Before we had the media the way we have it today, with all the different stuff going on. He seemed to be the voice, indeed a real pro-American. You can do some research. He was openly an internationalist, world government, openly, and associated with him and gave his nothing you would ever, he would, the people would have turned away from him. He'd have said any of that stuff on the air on a given night, publicly. But in his private meetings and associations and writings, he was very, very much an internationalist. He wasn't. He just appeared to be pro-American. You know, he'd give us the news every night, worked us through the Kennedy assassination and the Vietnam War. That is, okay, he prefaces this one with, there is futility which is done on the earth. Still trying to get my head around that. That is, there are righteous men to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. They befall something. On the other hand, there are evil men to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. In other words, they prosper in their evil. And they go forward and forward and onward down this path. So, obviously, we recognize it isn't so simple as the people who operate in a wicked and corrupt way always die before their time, and the righteous always go on and live out long days, and so forth and so on. It doesn't happen that way. Do we get that gives him a problem? This is how God rules the world. He can pull the plug on anybody anytime in a second, and has. I say that this too is futility. So we come back to a reoccurring theme. What I see with regard to this person is he goes into these dark modes. He gets off. It isn't that these things happen, it's how it affects his thinking. Sure, you and I can say, look at these people that are running around out here involved in evil and corruption and could care less about God, have no fear of Him, and away we go. And nothing bad's happening to them as far as we can see. They have long careers in evil. So I commended pleasure. Commend is Shabak, the PL perfect. So I complained. Pleasure, definite article, shimba. There's nothing good for a man under the sun except to eat and drink. And now he adds, be merry. Eat and drink and be merry because you don't know what tomorrow's bringing and you might as well just go for it. Seize the day. The expression from the Latin, seize the day. You say, I can get with this. This is something I can apply right out of the Bible class I heard today. I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, and I'm going to be merry. Shamak is be merry, eat and drink, obviously. And I don't think he's talking about water here. And this will stand by him. Thank God isn't what stands by me. I'm under adversity. Those things don't stand by me. The truth stands by me. And they will stand by him in his toils. They will stand by him, Amal. He's looking now at the person that's involved in honest labor, toiling under the sun, whatever work they do, throughout the days of his life which God has given him under the sun. And we come back to that, the subject of Solomon's intense investigation into this stuff. Now, of course, I have numerous questions, but basically, how'd you go about it? What was involved in this? What were your parameters? It's not told. He just tells us that when I gave my heart to know wisdom and see the task which has been done on the earth, to try to find out wisdom in all of this, and to see task which has been done on the earth. He shifts from under the sun to just on the earth. Even though one should never sleep day or night. And I saw every work of God, that man cannot discover the work which has been done under the sun. He cannot get to the bottom of it, analyze it, matzah to find, discover. Even though man should seek laboriously, he will not discover. And though the wise man should say, I know, he cannot discover it either. He can't get to the bottom of all this, of how God's administering this world. Well, we don't need to know it all. All we need to know is the truth and to follow it in our own lives and recognize that God's running his plan because it's his plan and he will do as he pleases and he will not violate his righteousness or justice. We can accuse him of things if we want to, that he's not fair or that he's this or he's that. That's wrong. Job got into that. That this was unfair and all the rest of it, and he had to repent of that. Because God is perfect, and that's the foundation of our understanding of the plan of God. And all that comes forth from him is perfect, and he allows people to run amok on the earth, and always has, but he's going to bring it to an end for everybody, and even the nations at large, and set up his kingdom. The shift here is from human government to how God governs the world. The focus is on the relationship between the righteous and the wicked primarily. These are two separate categories. Just as human government uses power in an arbitrary fashion, does it follow that God rules similarly? We come out of this abuse of authority thing, and people are arbitrary in their administration of authority, not always even-handed. There's a lot of wrong that goes on with people ruling over people. He is bringing into question God's rule, since the fate of the righteous and the wicked does not always match up with what is expected. This has turned some people against God and against any thoughts of God, or they use it as an excuse. I don't see any justice in this. Look at these people and all the evil they're doing, and they're getting by with it over and over and over and over, generationally in some instances, like the elite. And nobody wants to get to the bottom of this. Many people have spoken out about them. Even some of them have spoken about their intentions. Government should have put them down, should have went after them, like they would any cartel to have it. Slap their wrists. Nothing's been done. Nothing. Since we got the Federal Reserve System, and they were involved, the rich were involved before, because they want unfair advantage over everybody. They want to get this system, and they're under direct satanic influence, I believe. It's reflected on the back of your dollar bill, the pyramid, the all-seeing eye. What's being done to these people? Oh, the individuals in there die, but then their kids take over, and they go and they run this thing and run it and run it and run it. And this is the test for the righteous. To be patient, bear up under it, and know that God will eventually expose it and eliminate it. Just as human... Okay, he is bringing into question God's rule. Koheleth begins his observation in verse 10 with a personal observation of the wicked living in his city. He starts with their burial, the burial of the wicked, the end of the wicked. He sees these people who have been there for however long, and they die and are buried, who he describes as regular worshipers in the holy place. This also is a cover for their activity. They appear upright and normal because they go to church. In other words, these types were allowed by God to go in and out of the holy place, day in and day out, day in and day out. They're going in and out of the holy place. They're making a mockery of it, but they're going in and out of it. They're not getting anything out of it. They may like the overt ritual and the ceremony and stuff that they can go through and make an impressive offering, give a gift, whatever they do. That's how they operate. But they're in their hearts, they're not connected to the truth. They're the wicked. They don't want the truth. They're about being seen, going through the motions. Look at all the unbelievers that were running the... religious side of things in Israel when Jesus appeared. They were unbelievers for the most part. Completely corrupt. From the Pharisees all the way up the ladder to the Sanhedrin, to the head of the Sanhedrin, the high priest, these people. The wicked not only get away with their wickedness while they were alive, but they're viewed favorably. For the wicked to have become forgotten would be a positive thing. Psalm 9:6. The enemy has come to an end in perpetual ruins, and you've uprooted cities. Historically, cities have been uprooted and are ruins. Look at the Inca and various civilizations around. Just the remains are sitting there. A once prosperous, dynamic civilizations. The very memory of them has perished. 34:16. The face of the Lord is against evildoers. You come to Bible class so you can find out what is evil and what isn't. It's not just the normal stuff people figure out. It's other stuff too. To cut off the memory of them from the earth. Also Psalm 109. O God of my praise, do not be silent, for they have opened... For they have opened the wicked and deceitful mouth against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. I know the feeling, by the way. That's not in the Bible. It's just me. They have surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they act as my accusers. But I'm in prayer. Thus they have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man over him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him come forth guilty, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children wander about and beg, and let them seek sustenance far from their ruined homes. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder the product of his labor. Let there be none to extend loving kindness to him, nor any to be gracious to his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in a generation let their name be blotted out. David is referring to enemies in Israel, not nations out there. Some really bad people that resented his rule and resented what he stood for. Even though he's the anointed king of Israel, established by God, they have the gall to do this. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and do not let the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be continually before the Lord continually, that he may cut off their memory from the earth, because he did not remember to show loving kindness, but persecuted the afflicted and needy man, and the despondent in heart, to put them to death. He also loved cursing, so it came to him. And he did not delight in blessing, so it's far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing, as with a garment, and it entered into his body like water, and like oil his bones. Let it be to him as a garment which covers himself, and for a belt which he constantly girds himself. Let this be the reward of my accusers before the Lord, and of those who speak evil against my soul. But you, O God, the Lord, deal kindly with me for your name's sake. Because your loyalty is good, deliver me. For I am afflicted and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am passing like a shadow when it lengthens. I am shaken off like the locust. My knees are weak from fasting, and my flesh has grown lean without fatness. I also have become a reproach to them. When they see me, they wag their head. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to your loyalty. And let them know that this is your hand. You, Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, they shall be ashamed, but your servant shall be glad. Let my accusers be clothed with dishonor, and let them cover themselves with their own shame as with a robe. With my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, and in the midst of many I will praise him. For he stands at the right hand of the needy to save him from those who judge his soul. Wow, quite a psalm. Unbelievable, actually. You thought, and this is what David went through. Oh, this mighty king. This is in a period in his life where he had these kind of enemies. But before David had finished his life, God eliminated that group of them out of there. Ten, regarding the fact that these people are forgotten. But is that enough? Is Q questioning that they escape temporal judgment? The most that begins said for these types is that they end up dead, buried and forgotten. Is the point here to show that it's a waste of time to live a wicked life because of the wrong run they are forgotten, hence the Hebel clause in verse 10? Or is it to show the senselessness of the relationship between the fate of the wicked and the righteous? In verse 11, Q sets forth the reason why wickedness flourishes and is praised. 7. Whenever there is a delay of justice, as per the sentence of an evil deed is not carried out quickly, people conclude that the pursuit of evil is worth the risk. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men, among them, are given fully to do evil. Wickedness escalates when evildoers are not dealt with in a timely manner. This one word sentence, pithgam, only occurs here and in Esther 1:10, for the edict of the king. Although it is possible that a human sentence of a king or judge is in view here, the context supports a reference to a divine sentence. Swift action shows people that crime doesn't pay. But when justice is delayed, the door is open to encourage people to engage in wickedness. One thing the STA will back off on is fear, because people relate to that when they see an evildoer properly convicted and dealt with quickly, which we obviously haven't always done in this country. Well, we can put them in prison for life when they've done heinous things, and they should be dead. So the taxpayer has to pay millions of dollars to keep this monster alive. Q offers an example of the flourishing of the evil in the life of an individual in verse 12a, which he interprets in verse 12b-13 to state the opposite point of view. But in verse 14, he affirms what was stated in verse 12a. You can sort through all that. 23, in verse 12, he illustrates what is stated in verse 11. That wickedness flourishes when it is not quickly stopped. For a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are long. Long life should be a blessing for the righteous and the wise, not for the wicked. But in the middle of the sentence, his thought, he breaks off and affirms well-being for the righteous. Still I know, kind of comes back, still I know that it'll be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly. He kind of writes himself. Struggling with this, I see him struggling with things through this book. And then he will write himself and say something that's right on. Then in verse 13, he states the opposite for the wicked. But it will not be well for the evil man, and he will not lengthen his days like a shadow, because he does not fear God. All right, I'll let you go. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.